The frost on the window was so thick I couldn't see the street for a minute. Just the pale gold of the morning sun burning through the ice, turning everything into a blur of light. When it finally melted enough to see out, the city was already moving. A colectivo grumbled past, its brakes hissing, and a guy on a bicycle was hauling a cart of fresh bread down the cobblestones. That was my first real morning in Cordoba, day two of this winter leg. The air outside was crisp, about 1 degree when I finally stepped out, but the sun made it feel warmer. I came down to the little cafe on the corner of my street in Nueva Cordoba, a place called Fox Cafecito de Especialidad. It was warm inside, smelled of roasted beans and something sweet. I ordered a cortadoo and a media luna, a croissant that's a little denser, a little more buttery, and sat by the window. I paid about 5,000 pesos for the coffee, roughly $5, which feels steep until you remember the exchange rate and the inflation here. It's funny, you stop thinking in dollars pretty quickly. You just start thinking in pesos, and the numbers are so big that your brain treats them like Monopoly money until you get the bill. After breakfast, I walked toward the Gimes Barrio. I'd heard it called the San Telmo of Cordoba, and I wanted to see it with my own eyes. The route took me past the Paseo del Buen Pastor, this beautiful converted women's prison from 1901 that is now this cultural and gastronomic hub. In the middle of the day, the sunlight was hitting the old stone walls just right, and there were families with kids on the lawns, couples sharing a mate, and old men reading newspapers on benches. The city has a slower pulse than Buenos Aires, a quieter one, and it took me a day to feel it, but now I can't miss it. Gimes is a maze. The streets are narrow, lined with one-story houses with peeling paint in all colors and the sound of hammering or a radio drifting from an open courtyard. I found the Paseo de las Artes, the weekend craft fair, and weaved through the stalls. There were leather goods, silver jewelry, ceramic bowls, and funny little paintings of the Sierras. A man was playing a guitar near the corner, something folksy and sad. I stopped to listen for a while. That's a big part of the culture here, the peña, a place for folk music, not a concert, but a living room that happens to have a stage. I bought a thin wool scarf from a woman who said she was from the Calchaquí Valleys, further north. I paid about 15,000 pesos, maybe $16, for something that'll last years. It felt like a good trade. I found a bench on Calle Belgrano and sat down, just watching the crowd. There's this heaviness to the afternoon, the kind you get in places where the sun is strong but the air is cold. A girl was selling cigarettes and candy from a little tray. A man was walking three dogs of wildly different sizes, and a group of students was laughing loudly outside a craft beer bar. I checked my phone and saw a mention of the Terror Cordoba Film Festival that had just wrapped, and I remember thinking this place has more layers than I gave it credit for. You think of Cordoba as a student town, and it is, with all that energy, but there's also this deep, lived-in history here that goes back centuries. That history was the focus of my afternoon. I walked over to the Manzana Jesuitica, the Jesuit block, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The entrance is free, which was a nice change. There's a 17th century church, the Church of the Company of Jesus, with this intricate Baroque facade that looks like it was carved from butter. Inside, it's dark and quiet, with a strong smell of old wood and wax. I sat in a pew for a few minutes, letting the silence settle. I'm not a religious person, but you can feel the weight of the place. It's not just a building. It's the heart of an idea, the idea that the Jesuits brought when they came here in the 1600s, an empire of learning and faith that spread across the whole continent. After the church, I wandered into the patio of the old university, the Universidad Nacional de Cordoba, which dates from 1613. It's one of the oldest in the Americas. The courtyard is small, with orange trees in big clay pots and a single towering palm. Students were scattered on the grass, reading, talking, some with their laptops open. I felt a pang of something like nostalgia. There's a gravity to studying somewhere like this, where the stone walls have heard the same arguments and dreams for 400 years. I made a note to come back on a weekday and maybe catch a public lecture, if they have any. As I was leaving, I noticed I was getting hungry. The cold air has a way of doing that. I walked back toward the center, thinking about the famous local food. And this is where Cordoba really surprised me. Forget the steak for a minute. Everyone here is obsessed with salami. It's a whole culture. There's a festival for it in a town called Oncativo happening next week, the Fiesta Nacional del Salami Casero, a free admission fair of cured meat producers. Apparently, for 3 days, the whole place smells like a charcuterie board. I'm seriously considering hiring a car for the day to go check it out. But today, I went for something simpler. I stopped at a small, unassuming restaurant near the Plaza San Martin, one of those places with a plastic menu outside and a lunch crowd that's clearly all locals. I ordered a lomito, the Cordobés steak sandwich, which comes with ham, egg, and cheese piled on a soft roll. It cost me around 15,000 pesos, about $16, and it was enormous. I could only eat half. Sitting there, watching the waitress deal with a constant stream of office workers, I felt like I was getting the real rhythm. Service is fast at lunch, the food is heavy, and everyone is gone by 2:30 to go back to work. For a little sweetness after, I walked to La Compañía Café and Resto for a slice of something that looked terrible for you, but tasted perfect. It's a beautiful spot with high ceilings, and I sat in a giant leather chair and just watched the room. This is the part of travel I never get tired of. Not the sights, but the sitting, the observing, learning the rhythm of a place. I checked my phone and saw the exchange rate had moved again. The peso is a living thing here. It breathes and shifts under your feet. It's part of why rent can be so strange. I looked at a listing for a one-bedroom near the center, thinking about a future trip, and it was around 620,000 pesos a month, which is maybe $680. It sounds like a fortune until you say it in dollars and realize it's a decent price for a city this size. In the evening, the plan was simple. I went back to my flat to put on warmer clothes, made a quick mate for the road, and then set out for a walk toward Parque Sarmiento. The sun had gone down and the temperature had dropped fast. The park is one of the oldest in South America, and it has this moody, Parisian feel in the half-light, with its big trees and winding paths. The Eiffel water wheel, the Rueda Eiffel, looked like a giant iron spider against the purple sky. I found a little stall and bought a corpan, just a grilled chorizo and a crusty roll, for about 6,000 pesos. Standing there in the cold, eating it with the city lights flickering on below, that was the moment. That was the image of Cordoba I'll keep. I walked back through the streets of Nueva Cordoba as the night got going. The bars on Rondo Street were just starting to fill up, but I didn't have the energy for a night out. I'm still adjusting to the altitude and the dry air. Instead, I climbed the stairs to my flat, made some herbal tea, and sat by the window with a book. I could hear the distant thump of bass from a club 3 blocks away. It was the sound of a city that was just getting started for the night, while I was already thinking about tomorrow, about the Sierras, about hiking in the clear winter light, and seeing if I can spot a condor. This is the good part of the journey, the slow part, the part where you stop being a tourist and just start being a person who lives somewhere, even if it's just for a little while. Before I turned off the light, I marked a few places on my map. There's the Quebrada del Condorito, the canyon where the condors ride the thermals, and it's a serious hike, not a walk in the park. I need to check the bus schedule. And there's Alta Gracia, the town where Che Guevara's family moved in the 1930s, for the dry climate. It's hard to imagine the boy who became the revolution being a kid in a small town in these hills. But that's how stories work. They start small. I slept well, the kind of deep, dreamless sleep you get after a day of cold air and honest food. Buenos Aires feels far away already. The Northwest feels close.